So Lord Chaitanya, he went to Gaya, you know, like all good Hindus go to Gaya. What did they call it? Pinda? Or the father? So he went to Gaya and he did everything he was supposed to do. He went to all the different temples and he did all the rituals. But then he met Ishwar Puri, who was a great, great devotee in the, you know, from Madhavendra Puri. So the great, you know, really great devotee in the Parampara, Madhva Sampradaya. And he got initiated into the Krishna mantra. He started chanting all the time. And he went like mad. And he went back to Ishwar Puri. He told him, what kind of mantra have you given me? I'm going mad. He said, that's good. That's what should happen. He told him, you're a fool, you can't study Vedanta. Just chant all the time. So he went back to Navadvipa and he was a completely changed person. He was just chanting Krishna, 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 and crying, and you know, he would fall unconscious and have all these horripilations and, you know, symptoms and try to control himself. And he called all the really older Vaishnavas, because previously he had just given the Vaishnavas a hard time. He was logician, and he could defeat any argument, and then he would defeat his own argument. That's the way arguers do, to show you that you're really stupid. First they defeat your argument, then they defeat their own argument to show how stupid you were, that you couldn't defeat it. So he would do that to the devotees, so they would avoid him, and they were praying that he would become a devotee, because they thought, if he becomes a devotee, he'll convert everybody. So powerful. And he would say, thank you for your well wishers and I'll show you. You know, he's acting very puffed up. But when he came back here, he was very humble and he was serving the devotees. He was washing their clothes and, you know, when they took baths at the ghats, he was folding up their cloth and just carrying their packages in the market. He was doing all kinds of service for the devotees. And he called all the devotees and he said, I want to meet tomorrow at, I think, the Sringa Brahmachari's house, and he called who should come, and these are the senior Vaishnavas. And then he was telling them what happened and how he changed and how now all he wants is Krishna. He can't think of anything else. So they were really happy, all the devotees were really happy. He would fall unconscious and able to see for hours, and then he would just chant and he would say, what happened? Did I act weird? You know, is there anything wrong? So the students, you know, he was the best teacher of grammar and logic. So they were waiting, and then when he came back, you know, they came back to study. But all he talked, they asked him to explain some kind of grammatical thing, and all he did was explain that everything is Krishna. Every word is Krishna. Every conjunction of words is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. They just go on and on and on, and how bhakti is the topmost thing, and then he would, you know, he would be completely in a trance. The students were bewildered. They couldn't understand what he was talking about, but they kind of liked it. At first they thought he had gone mad. And Mother Sachi was worried because he was just crying all the time, whereas Krishna is. He would fall unconscious. He was crying out for Krishna, and Gadadhar finally came. And Gadadhar Pandit was a neighbor and friend, little bit older. He said, don't worry, Krishna's in your heart. And he said, I'll get him out. And he started scratching himself. And Gadadhar calmed him down. And then his mother Sachi said, you have to stay with my son all the time. So the students, they went to complain to Gangadas, who was a teacher of Lord Chaitanya, that he's not teaching, he's only talking about Krishna all the time, not teaching us from the books. And so Gangadas called him and said, what are you doing? You know, you got to teach properly. He said, I can't. Everything is Krishna. And he said, he gave the students, he said, okay, you can go and find another teacher because I can't teach you things. Everything is Krishna. But they said, no, how can we leave? We like you so much. And they started, they all became also, they liked it. They started to like to hear all this about. They became also. So that is what's mentioned here. That if conclusive truth of all logic. Lord Chaitanya explained it from inside and outside and back and forth and up and down, how everything concludes Krishna. Everything concludes bhakti. Everything. No matter what it is, every word, every syllable, everything. He was giving that vision for a long time, day after day, for all day teaching. Then he told the students, let's just go to Ganga. He didn't want to talk about anything else. So from that day on, it was always Krishna. And he was showing us, you know, how we should be. But he would be exhibiting all kinds of ecstatic symptoms and talking like a madman, of course, Krishna. But, you know, like an ordinary person would think is mad. And falling unconscious, you know. But whenever a mundane person came anywhere near, he would become normal. He would stop acting like that. He could control his senses, control his consciousness. And he would say, did I act funny? Is it all right what I'm saying? Everybody liked it, of course, all the devotees, they were next. So he was showing us, teaching us how to see this. There's so much so-called logic. But if the conclusive truth doesn't come out to be Krishna, it may be logical in a limited sense, but it's not really logical. Mundane logic is not very logical. Americans are famous for being logical, and Asians don't like that. Especially Japanese, they're very emotional. But the emotions come first. Logic doesn't make any sense. And that's actually more proper. Logic has to be there. We have to do things in a logical way when we're building a house or, you know, doing those kind of things. But for bhakti yoga, it's not logical. It's emotional. Love. It's not a dried up thing. It's not like just x equals, you know, a, b, y. It's emotional. Love for Krishna. Feeling, you know, pain. Separated from Krishna. It's like we read about the great devotees, the gopis or something. They're very emotional. You know, they don't care for any logical explanation. When Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with a letter, because the gopis were, you know, they were feeling so separation and they were suffering. So the letter said, I'm everywhere. You know, I'm all pervasive and you don't have to. And they didn't like that. They thought, what kind of rascal is he talking like that? You know, we want Krishna. We don't want to think about this. His all-pervading energy or his presence. They want Krishna as a person. They want to be with him. They want to see him. They want to, you know, serve him as a person. And then they were not happy at all. But then they started asking Uddhava, what is he doing now? Doing in work. And then Uddhava was so impressed by their love for Krishna and he was overwhelmed. Couldn't believe it. All the happiness of Vrindavan, the older people, the young ones, the cows, everyone was just melancholy because Krishna was gone. They had no interest in anything. They just, where is Krishna? They weren't interested in their household duties or their anything. All they wanted is find Krishna. It's like that in Dwarka when Krishna is gone. Krishna would leave Dwarka actually to go to Vrindavan. And then the inhabitants of Dwarka were like that. They just, we say in English, spaced out. You know, they just, all they could say, and then when Krishna came back, they were all in ecstasy. And everybody's out waiting to greet him and see him. You know, if they can't run up, they're embracing him in their heart and in their mind. That is the real thing that we're seeking. That's actually what Bhagavad Gita is about. Our relationship with Krishna. Nowadays there's a lot of talk about relationships, mainly because there's so many disrupted relationships, right? Between countries, husband and wife even sometimes, right? don't get along. I don't know how it is in Singapore. In America, the divorce rate is about 60 or 70% of marriages end up divorced. And that's not the real indicator, because many, many people don't even get married because they know they're not going to stay together anyway. So they just live together. One of my students there in Greece, they're nice, very, you know, conservative couple. They're married and they're devotees and they're like that anyway. And they were looking for an apartment, and all the landlords said they were surprised that they were married. They said none of the couples are married. You know, that's old fashioned. They just figure we're going to divorce anyway, and it's so much trouble legally. Better you just, when you have trouble, you just leave it. So the relationships are very bad. The root cause of that is because nobody's cultivating a relationship with Krishna, with the Supreme Soul, the spiritual relationship. So then they can't have a spiritual relationship with other people. The relationship is completely based on external things, on the dress. Hardly even based on the body, just on the dress. You know, they're so external, how they judge things. Everything, they just, the package is everything, right? When you buy something, there's so much packaging. It's more than the thing, much more than the thing. Big science, packaging. Right? Anybody in the packaging business? They have all kinds of magazines and everything. You know, for whatever you want, whatever item you're selling, they have big, big catalogs of all the different packages. So you can attract people to it. The same thing, the fashion business, just package. Put your body in this package and everyone will love you. Don't think about who you are, or how you're thinking, or how you're acting. So then, it doesn't last. The relationships are no good. So a lot of psychiatrists get a lot of business, you know, trying to mend relationships. Rescue relationships, as one guy very famous on Oprah Winfrey all the time. Rescue relationships. But that, you may rescue your material relationship, you know, some husband and wife, they may get them back to remember why they got married in the first place and start looking for the good qualities of each other again, you know, that they start to ignore after a while. But if they don't get back to the real root cause of the relationship with Krishna, nobody's going to be happy anymore. That's, we've broken off our relationship with Krishna. That's what we need to reestablish. So bhakti yoga is a perfect opportunity, because Krishna comes, especially like in the form of the deity, and we can serve him. We can cook for him, we can dress him, we can make flowers, we can, you know, just look at him. We can dance for him, we can sing for him, we can read about him. You know, we can have a relationship with Krishna. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing from Krishna, same as Arjuna heard. But we're not the same as Arjuna, but Krishna is the same Krishna. The Krishna that we're hearing from Bhagavad Gita is the same Krishna Arjuna was hearing. But it's up to us to get purified so that we can appreciate it like Arjuna did. So that we can cook like Mother Yasoda or Satchimata did. You know, with complete ecstasy of love for Krishna. Really thinking Krishna needs me. I have to serve him. That's why he comes in the form of a deity. Seems like he can't do anything for himself. Right? You have to dress him and you have to do everything. Of course, he doesn't need anybody. But he makes it seem like that. And then in the spiritual world, he's living, moving, everything, but everyone really believes, you know, that Krishna is depending on them. Is thinking, I have to feed Krishna today, I have to give him a bath, I have to get him back from play and take care of him. He's a helpless child without his mother. And they really feel that way. But that's out of love, it's not out of forgiveness, it's not out of maya, mahamaya, it's out of yoga maya. Love for Krishna. And Krishna likes that. Even his father will chastise him. Krishna likes that. He wants those kind of relationships. So they develop by surrendering to the spiritual master, by taking the order of the spiritual master seriously, following through, you know, chanting the holy name regularly, try to chant attentively, We need to practice that. I know around the world, especially now in India and America and Europe, devotees have been having these japa retreats. You can read about it on Dandabhat. When devotees go, they get so excited how their life came back to them by just going and concentrating on chanting the holy name for 5 days, nothing else. Check your phone, check your computer, leave everything behind, and just chant the holy name. Talk about the glories of the holy name. You know, talk about why we've come to the point of chanting, you know, without paying much attention to it. You gotta finish. You know, we should never think I finished my chanting. We should think, no matter how much we chant, in the spiritual, everything is ever fresh. They always feel like they've never done it before, even though they're always doing the same thing. It always feels like brand new, fresh. That's spiritual life. When we read Bhagavad Gita, the more we read it, you'll see that it always seems like, wow, I don't remember that. You know, one reason is we have very bad memories. Anyway, I used to teach reading, and we would give people a test. Simple multiple choice test. But even, you know, businessmen, educated, mostly they get like 40%. Right after, just reading 2 or 3 pages. What to speak of an hour later, or 2 hours later, or 3 hours, or the next day, right? That's why students have to cram and cram and memorize. That's one reason. The other reason is that it's ever fresh, and even if we did remember it, it's new and different every time. Because Krishna is unlimitedly ever fresh and wonderful. So the more we read Bhagavad Gita, the more we chant the holy name, that's Krishna. Where Krishna is there, he's dancing on your tongue. He's hearing us chanting and calling his name, right? If I'm calling Devaki and I say, Dhruv, you know, he might not know who he's, right? So if I go, hey, Krishna Ramchandra, you know, maybe Krishna doesn't know that you're calling him. Maybe he does, like maybe we might be like a baby and our heart is so pure and we're in ecstasy, like Dhruva Maharaj was when he saw Vishnu and he couldn't talk properly. But Vishnu knew what he's trying to say. But probably we're just thinking of something else and we're not paying attention. We're calling out Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
There was a very nice article in Bhaktivedanta about chanting japa by Veer Krishnamurti. He said, actually, I said this many times, but we should chant like kirtan. In kirtan, nobody ever chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare. Nobody does that, right? Especially if you're leading the kirtan, then you're going to be very careful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But in japa, very easy to lose track. We have to get that because we don't get the full nectar if we're chanting without hearing it. If we're not pronouncing it. Then we can't think of Krishna. Nam namakadi bahuda nijitarva shakti trapita niyamata smarne nakala tadasi tabakripa bhagavan namapi durdaiva mitisham. Durdaiva means, you know, offensive. If we make offenses, Lord Chaitanya said, I make offense when I'm chanting, so I don't get the full nectar. So if we're not getting that, we're not feeling that ecstasy, we should, sometimes we'll think, well, maybe chanting is not really what I should be doing. Maybe I should try someplace else. Get a magic wand, or get the nectar, or get the Mahabhagwat or something, you know. But it's because we're not chanting attentively. So we're not getting the full benefit. We have to pray to Krishna, please. Try to chant carefully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Until we come to the stage of only chanting. Always chanting. Prabhupada, one time, some reporter said, well, I see that your students, they're not always chanting. Well, it takes practice. He said, just like I'm talking to you, but I'm chanting. also, you know, everybody familiar with computers, multitasking, right? The computer can, up to a certain point, can do different things. So we all notice that our mind can do that. We can be chanting, and other people might hear, oh, he's chanting, you know, Hare Krishna. But mind might be, who knows where the mind is, right? Even though the mouth is chanting and it sounds okay. So when we come to a higher stage, proper stage, we can be doing other things, but actually the mind can be chanting. Even though we're talking about business or talking, you know, this and that, the mind can be chanting. But that takes practice. The more we chant, the more we try to serve Krishna, the more we, you know, join in with the devotees and preach and tell other people. Because chanting with faith is most important. Doing anything with faith, that it's really the highest thing. There's nothing better to do. Then the effect is much greater. And the more we preach the holy name, the more we tell others that they should chant, then the more we get faith. Like last night I was talking like this, like I always do. So when we got out of the taxi, I said, Hare Krishna. And then the guy started saying Hare Krishna. He didn't have the mantra quite right. Said he was Sai Baba guy. So I gave him a mantra card and he started, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh, thank you very much. And I felt very happy. I was walking, chanting in Bali on the beach, and one guy was sitting there and he said, hey, you know, what is that? Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, you know. And he wanted to know how to, the mantra, so I told him, but he couldn't remember. So he pulled out his pen and he was looking around and, you know, it's on the beach. All he could find was one cigarette box. So he ripped that cigarette box open and I wrote the mantra and he was Hare Krishna. And he said, I walked away, he was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So I felt good. You know, my chanting had some value that day. At least one other person chanted. So but the more we try to give the mantra, that controls our mind. It's most pleasing to Krishna. There's no one more dear to Krishna than one who preaches it. And then we'll be able to chant better. Krishna will reveal himself more and more in our chanting, the more we try to share it with others. Everybody needs Krishna. They all want Krishna. Everyone's looking for happiness. Right? Krishna is the greatest pleasure. That the only reason anyone does anything is because they think it'll give them pleasure. Ultimately, that's the motive. What I think, you know, what some people think gives them pleasure, you would never want to do. You know, they're doing it for pleasure, they're smoking a cigarette, and hanging off a mountain by their fingertips. It's giving them pleasure. Other people want to do something else, according to their modes of nature. But that pleasure is very limited and temporary. But the pleasure we get from connecting with Krishna and the Paramananda, then that, there's no limit. So enough said. So from Krishna is the beginning, middle, and the end. In the practice of bhakti yoga, chanting the holy name is the beginning and the middle and the end. There's nothing beyond that. That after you learn how to chant, then you do something else. You know, you don't need to go beyond the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's nothing beyond it. Lord Chaitanya came and made it all very simple. The special benediction of Kali Yuga, that just chanting the holy name of Krishna is everything. Full surrender just by chanting, accepted as fully surrendered. So here we have all the Lord Shiva, the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, can get his mercy. If you approach him as a guru to give you Krishna, he can do that. Lakshmi Narayan, that Radha Krishna. Lakshmi Narayan is also Radha Krishna. And we have Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman. Under all of Krishna. So when we're chanting the holy name of Krishna, it covers all of it. Everything is in that. Nam Namakari Babuja Nidhi Sarvashakti. Unlimited names and all energies that are in those names. And Krishna is so kind, he makes approach very easily just by chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Thank you very much. Dhanyavaad. Srimakasi. Yeah. Questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the nice class. Maharaj, just at around 5 o'clock in the evening when I was printing the flyer, one of the old, he is around 50 years old. So when I think, he saw the flyer, he asked, are you Hare Krishna? I said yes. Then he had few doubts, like he was asking, he said Krishna is something like a human with divine qualities, and he said there is impersonal, something which is beyond him. Then I said no, it's not like that, it's the other way around. Krishna is all supreme personality of Godhead, and he has all the qualities and he is the absolute truth. Then he said how to understand this, that he is beyond this impersonal. And then I said I cannot speak to a person or to a wall. But instead I can speak to you. This is the relationship or to a person we can speak. But I want to know, Maharaj, how to explain that Krishna is beyond the impersonal. And the other question he has is about Lord Shiva. Who is Lord Shiva and to whom he is born? That was his question for him. I don't know why he has asked this question. So I just wanted to know.
Well, nice question. In any impersonal manifestation, Prabhupada gives the example like the government. And it might appear to be impersonal, but there's people behind all this. You know, behind all the things is people. They make the laws. The laws are impersonal, it seems like, but they're actually made by people, right? They're a lawyer. So the sunlight is impersonal, but it comes from the sun planet. You can't see the sun planet for the light, right? You can't see the sun planet because the light is so bright. We've been blinded just by the light. You can't even see a really powerful light bulb, you just see the light. So even if it says that somewhere that when Allah had the darshan of, when Muhammad, he went to see Allah, but he couldn't see Allah. There was 1,000 curtains or something to block the light coming from Allah. Brahmana, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. So that we can't see Krishna, because he's the source. So the Upanishad says, Hiranmayena Patrina, Satchasya Abhitam Kam, Tattvam Pusham Apavarna. Satchidharmaya Drishtaye. My dear Lord, please remove this effulgence so I can see you as a person. So that's logic in one sense, but the sun planet does not come out of the sunlight. Right? But that kind of covers it. People are bewildered because they've been taught wrong. Lord Shiva is Vishnu in contact with the material world. So, Chiramyata Adarivikara Visheshi Yoga Sanjayate Nipata Prasagate Heto Yaksambhutam Abhipata Samupaisikarya Govinda Maripurusha Samamaka. It's like yogurt compared to milk. So he's created by Vishnu, he's not like born out of the material nature. But he's the one that impregnates the soul into the material nature. Vishnu never contacts the material nature. That's Shiva. But it's sometimes said Vishnu, but Shiva's doing it. So that's really the difference. He's powerful, almost, practically no difference. But you can make yogurt out of milk if you know the science, right? Not very difficult, ladies. Anybody make milk out of yogurt? No, you can't extract milk from yogurt. Why not? All it is milk. You put one little something in there and it changes, right? You can get many things out of milk, but you can't get milk out of any of it. You can't get milk out of butter. You can't get milk out of cheese. You know, you can, but you can get all those things from milk. So he's like that. As Shiva. He's auspicious. There is Sada Shiva in the spiritual world, in the Goloka. Shiva in this universe is temporary manifestations. Because there's one in every universe. Something like Lord Brahma. But he's Vaishnava Shambhu. He's the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. If he's approached in that way as a guru and a sampradaya to teach about Krishna, then that's very good. Not so many approach him like that. Most people approach him thinking he's supreme and they can get material benediction, power, wealth. Right? He's married, his wife is material energy, so he can get anything. Durga, she's the material nature, she's in charge of the whole prison house. They want people to approach, bewildered, and he gives them quickly whatever they want. It's not good for them. Krishna doesn't do that. Alright? Yeah, see, a lot of people, they have a lot of questions. They're bewildered. So they look to us to give answers. Yeah, that's why we need to study the books and know. It's like a lawyer has to refer to law, right? And previous judgments and all those things. You can't just say, well, I think it should be like this, judge. Why? Right? Books, the Vedas, the law book, and we have to know. Lord Chaitanya dealt with all these arguments. Prabhupada dealt with all of them. So if we study the Leelamriti, you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srimad Bhagavatam covers all of them. And the Mayavadi and the Buddhism and all those arguments that are presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Karmakanda, you know, all kinds of far out. Everything is there. We need to study very carefully. It's not logic, but it's, you know, we need to get purified, but we need to, we're in the material world, we have to deal with all these things. The gopis don't have to worry about those kind of questions. They just want to know, where is Krishna? When is he coming? You know. Right? That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. That's the high level. We want to say, you know, where is Krishna? Well, he's in the holy name. He is the holy name. So we should be chanting. He is the Bhagavad Gita. He is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the book incarnation of Krishna. So by reading the Bhagavatam, it's not just to get knowledge or just to defeat somebody's argument. You know, I read like that often. You hear somebody's stupid argument, you just start looking to find it. That's one level, but the real level is just to associate with Krishna. Associate with Krishna, associate with the previous acharyas. That's the real thing. You should want to do that also. Just to relish being with Krishna, because it's Krishna. Chanting is Krishna, so we want to chanting just to be with Krishna. It's like people want to be with their good friend or with their lover. Right? They go to so much endeavor to go to an airport and see, you know. People going all over the world just to meet their friend or meet their girlfriend, or, you know, spending millions of dollars. So we should want to be with Krishna. He's the best friend, the best lover, the best everything. And we can be, but just by chanting, we are with Krishna, but we have to really concentrate to be able to, you know, appreciate that. It's all right there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, right? Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said you have to use your tongue and your lips and your teeth. Hare Krishna. It's very, if a band person can chant just in their mind, express. Hare Krishna. tell that prostitute when she came, sit down and hear the holy name. You know, well, I finished my round. So she sat there all night, you know, and finally she started chanting. All right? Okay? Dhanyavad. Hare Krishna. Crowd is getting bigger every time. Yeah? But there's so many people in Singapore that never heard of Krishna. We need a chain of, you know, Krishna restaurants. I was thinking we should name it like something like, you know, Prasada, but just say mercy. Just call it mercy. People would, when they wonder what it is. Everybody wants mercy. They don't know what mercy is. Real mercy is you get the holy name, but and they think, but prasadam is mercy. By eating prasadam, people get Krishna. In New York City, there's one devotee. He's still a bhakta, but he's been around a long time. But he has a business of donuts. He cooks really opulent donuts, the old recipes he got from his grandfather. And it became very, very popular. He started out just delivering on his bicycle. Became pretty big business, the donut factory. So one Japanese businessman liked him, and he bought a franchise, and he agreed to keep all the same recipes, and even offering. They had Lord Jagannath in the kitchen. But it turned out the Japanese people couldn't really cook them properly, so he brought over a devotee cook from America, Bengali boys. And they supervised all the cooking. And it became quite big. The guy made a very expensive restaurant in an expensive neighborhood, but then he got outlets in different department stores, you know, just a little corner of a restaurant or something. And now he got Starbucks. All the Starbucks in Tokyo sell the prasadam donuts. 5,000 donuts a day, just for Starbucks. Cook 3,000 for their company and 5,000 for Starbucks. They work all night, I guess. You know. Big factory, very hard work, but devotees. They had to bring more Bengalis. They can work hard, you know, to get a little money, and they're devotees. So they're chanting and doing everything. So these kind of things can happen by Krishna's grace. He's trying to get all the Starbucks in Japan. I don't know how he could cook that many. But there were no Starbucks 5 or 6 years ago. There were no devotees in Singapore really Hare Krishna either, but 5 or 6 years ago. Just a very few. But now there's so many taking very seriously. But to take it really, the more we give it, the more we plan and think how to give this to everyone, the more we get. That's just a simple thing. It's like Starbucks, they're always thinking how to make more Starbucks. Now they're reducing. They got too many. You know, they have to be thinking what to sell, what not to sell. You know, they train all their workers very, very nicely. I don't know if you've ever been to Star. I've never been, but they're really first class. I did. Devotees took me there a couple times. They're very nice. They let, you know, devotees go there to eat lunch. They just sit there. Nobody kicks them out. You know, in England or something, it's really cold. Just go in Starbucks and they don't take it out. Let people sit for hours. You got the Wi-Fi, and that way they get, you know, people love them. And all their workers are very fucked up, very first class. So we need to train up devotees like that. We need to be like that. McDonald's is like that, and make everywhere where people can come and study the Bhagavad Gita, everyone's house, everywhere, get some prasad. Make a business, right? One way or another, distribute. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Singapore Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Vrinda.
Maharaj will have to go to another program, Bhadravinoda Prabhu's program that's organized at Arasakesari Temple. it's quite fast. So,